Father, thank you for what you've said. And Lord, we pray you'll help us to understand, Lord, and not just understand it, Lord, with our heads, but learn how to live it in our lives. Lord, grant us your blessing in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, then, what's unusual about this scene? Can you see that scene for the starters?
There's trees.
Where are the trees?
In the desert.
In the desert, right, yes. Not a lot of the essential ingredient, which is?
Water.
So let's have a look at our next one then, please, yeah? Right, there you are. Makes all the difference in the desert, doesn't it? A little bit of water goes a long way, right? So no growth anywhere else, just round the edge where the water is. So, next please then. Yeah, so the essential component was the water. Well, in the spiritual life, there's an essential component that Jesus talked about as well. So I just want to read a few verses to you, if I may, and then we'll look at the little story that surrounds it. It's in John's Gospel, and chapter 3, where it's about a fellow called Nicodemus. Right. He was learning about birthdays, Mark, so that was the connection, you see? Right, yeah. Now, a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a member of the Jewish ruling council, he was one of the government, yeah? He came to Jesus at night and said, Rabbi, we know that you're a teacher from God, for no one could perform the miraculous signs you are doing if God were not with him. In reply, Jesus declared, I tell you the truth, no one can see the kingdom of God unless he is born again. Right. Now, the word again, we'll look at it in a moment, but the word born again can mean two things. It can mean again, meaning again, or it can mean from above. Right? And it means both when Jesus is using it, but Nicodemus didn't get it. You'll see what I mean. Let's have a look at our next one then, please. Yeah? Right. Now, there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus. There was a Pharisee. No, he wasn't a Pharisee. He was a Pharisee, wasn't he?
Yeah.
There's a spelling mistake to start with. Yes. Right, a member of the Jewish ruling council. So he was one of the bright lights in Israel in those days. He was a member of what they call the Sanhedrin, the top ruling party, member of the government, yeah? He was a religious guy, clever guy. And so he comes to Jesus, as we'll see. Next one, please. He came to Jesus at night. Why do you think he came at night? He didn't want to be seen. You know, associating with this Jesus, who was a bit controversial at the time, the leadership of the country felt a bit threatened. You know how governments get like that, don't they? When someone tells them the truth, they don't like it. Yeah, so he came at night, right? And he said to him, Rabbi, that's teacher, that's the Jewish name, yeah? Rabbi, we know you are a teacher who's come from God, because no one could do the miracles you were doing if God wasn't with him. So, the grapevine had worked, you know. Jesus didn't publish his miracles, right? But everybody found out about them. And they hear what Jesus is up to. They've seen or heard about the things he's doing. And this guy, Nicodemus, thinks, wow, this is somebody special. You just don't do these things naturally. So he thinks, yes, God must be with him. So he wants to go and find out, what's it all about, Jesus? That's really what he's asking, yeah? What's it all about? And who are you? Right. So the next thing, please. Jesus replied, I tell you the truth, no one can see the kingdom of God unless he is born again. Well, is that an answer? Well, it is, in a way, because Jesus isn't answering the question he's asked, he's answering the question he's thinking. You see, Nicodemus is thinking, hey Jesus, what have you got that I haven't? Yeah? How do you know God so well and I don't? Yeah, because Jesus is challenging him, really, isn't that it? So that's the question he's asking, although he hasn't put it into words. Jesus can read his mind. So Jesus replies to what he's thinking, and he says, I tell you the truth, no one can see the kingdom of God unless he's born again. Something's got to happen. Yeah, got to be a change. That's what he's getting at, right? But Nicodemus, when he hears the phrase born again, he goes into natural mode, like most of us would, I guess, yeah? And so next bit is, so he asks the question, how can a man be born when he's old? Nicodemus asked, right? So he's admitting he's clocked up a few miles. Is that right now?
Yeah.
Okay, he's clocked up a few miles. And how can a man be born when he's old? Surely he cannot enter a second time into his mother's womb to be born. There's a little baby.
Gorgeous.
Yeah, lovely, isn't it? There's a midwife speaking for you. Right, a gorgeous picture, yes. Little fella there, or little girl, I don't know that. But there you are. Yeah, perfectly formed.
That's in utero, though.
Yeah. That's in the womb, that's in the womb, yes, yeah. Yeah, they can do amazing sort of scan things now, can't they? Yeah. So, Nicodemus is thinking in the natural realm. He says, look, you want me to be born again? How on earth can I shrink down and start all over again? Right? That's his, the way he's thinking. Right? Jesus doesn't mean that at all. He's got to explain it to Nicodemus, but Nicodemus isn't quite there yet. Okay, puzzle. Next one, please. So Jesus answered, I tell you the truth, no one can enter the kingdom of God unless he's born of water and the Spirit. People give birth to people, but the Spirit gives birth to Spirit. Yeah, so, I've got the butterfly there. It's, in order to be... There's a cartoon I once saw. It was a good joke. It shows you these two butterflies talking to... Not two butterflies, two caterpillars talking together. Right? You know, you can do that in cartoons, can't you? Caterpillars talking to each other. And they see this butterfly going by. And one caterpillar says to the other, you know, you'll never get me up in one of those things. Well, they will, because there's going to be a fundamental change to the nature of the caterpillar to become a butterfly. That's what Jesus is getting at. There's going to be a big old change going on inside Nicodemus. It's almost as if you'd be born all over again, right? But it comes from above. Yeah, it's God at work, yeah? So, he says, I tell you, no one can enter the kingdom of God unless he's born of the water and the Spirit. Because people produce people, but spiritual things have to come from God. Yeah? The real spiritual stuff comes from God. So if you want to get to know God, you've got to get God to get you to know him. Yeah? Simple, isn't it?
Yeah.
Well, you're clever. You see, Nicodemus did that. Next thing, please. Right. You should not be surprised at my saying you must be born again. The wind blows wherever it pleases. You hear its sound, but you cannot tell where it comes from or where it is going. And so it is with everyone born of the Spirit. Now, here's another play on words. I guess Nicodemus might have got this one. You may be aware that the word spirit and wind is the same word.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah? So the wind blows wherever, and that's in the natural realm, isn't it? Yeah? So, you know, the weather forecasters are good, but they haven't quite got it yet. Yeah? Right? The wind blows wherever it pleases. Right? The weather does what it likes. Well, you can pray about the weather, by the way. Yeah? God's in charge of the weather, so you can ask for nice weather sometimes, yeah? Okay, so the wind blows wherever it pleases, you can hear it, and you can tell where it's going, and where it's, well, you can tell where it's about, yeah? And that's true of the work of the Holy Spirit. You can't make him do things, he goes as he pleases, but you can tell where he's been, because you see the effects of the change of the Spirit in people's lives, yeah? That's the idea Jesus is getting. So it is with everyone who is born of the Spirit. He's getting the idea now. It's not born again natural, it's born again spiritual. Yes. Next then, please. How can this be? Nicodemus asks. He's really got it, hasn't he? Yeah, you can tell that it's fast. Yeah? How can this be? And Jesus says, you are Israel's teacher, said Jesus, and do you not understand these things? He was a university guy. He was one of the chief guys of teaching the people about God. And Jesus says, this is basic stuff, Nicodemus. And you're a teacher and you don't know this stuff. It's no good telling people about God if they don't know God. That's where you start. And so he says, well, you're Israel's teacher and you don't understand these things. I don't think Jesus was putting him down. No. He's just making him think about, well, you know, you've not really quite got it, have you? So next one, please. So, now there's a picture of the heavenlies. Yes, I'm telling you the truth. Jesus always told us the truth, by the way. Yeah? If you do not believe me when I tell you about the things of this world, how will you ever believe me when I tell you about the things of heaven? No one has ever gone up to heaven except the Son of Man, who came down from heaven. So, somebody knows, because he's been there. Who's the Son of Man?
Jesus.
It's a Bible name for Jesus. It means the Messiah. That's what it's about, yeah? Right? Jesus, the Messiah, he came from heaven, so he knows what he's talking about. Right? So he says, I'm telling you about spiritual things, you can't even grasp the earthly things, so how on earth are you going to get, how in heaven, are you going to get the heavenly things? Right? So, he says, I'm telling you, I know what I'm talking about. I've been there. Is that good to have someone who's a good guide, eh? So, next one, please. So he says, you must be born again. Why? What's all this born again bit about? I hope I've giving you some idea. It's important, right? But I just want to spell out why it's important. Next then, please. Right. There's a problem. Did you know we have a problem? We have a, well, maybe you've got more than one problem. I don't know. But we have problems as human beings. God is totally pure. The word we use is holy, but he's pure, right? And so, here we are, people who are sinful. Sorry to tell you this, folks, but you're a bunch of sinners. Right? Some are worse than others, I'll give you that. But we're all sinners, yes? Right? It means, what we mean by sin is we've broken God's commandments, we haven't lived up to what even we expect of ourselves, never mind what God expects of us. Right? We've really blown it. And that's the gap, that's the sin gap, right? That's the problem. So, there we are. How, Nicodemus, how can you have a relationship with a pure God when you are pure? That's the problem. Yeah. And, well, Nicodemus hasn't got the answer, but Jesus has. So, next then, please. Right. God has provided the only solution, and each person has to make a choice, right? You can get to know God, but you have to make the choice on that one, yeah? So, what's happened is that Jesus bridges the gap. Jesus deals with that sin question by taking it on himself, and in dying for us, he makes the join between man and God. Yeah? So through Jesus, only through Jesus, there aren't any other ways. Through Jesus, we can have a relationship with God. Nicodemus did get it in the end, actually.
Yeah?
Which is wonderful, yeah? But that's the problem that Nicodemus has. How can you know God who's pure when you aren't? And basically, it's through someone giving himself to offer himself in place of your sin. Jesus does that. That's amazing. Isn't that God? God good? God knows you can't do it. It's not that he's out to get you. He is out to get you, but he wants to get you in the right way. Yeah? He wants you. Yeah? Right? And he wants you. So he's got to do something about this sin question. And the only one who could do it was God. Because humans are messed up. So God provides in Jesus, his son, the answer to our problem. Right? So next slide, please. Right. So, what is an impossibility? Humans can't do it, right? But it's an absolute necessity. If you want a relationship with God, you've got to know him. You've got to be born from above, born again, yeah? But it's a divine solution. God has provided the answer. What do you know it is? Simply ask Jesus, yeah? Lord, come into my life, forgive my sins, make me one of yours. Job done. That's amazing. Miracles happen quickly when Jesus is involved. Yeah? So that's how it is. It's an impossibility for us and yet an absolute necessity, and Jesus provides the answer. Next then, please. Right. And then he gives Nicodemus an illustration, because Nicodemus is a Jewish man and he knows the Jewish history. And along about 1,000 years beforehand, there was the time of Moses when the Israelites had been slaves in Egypt. And they came out of Egypt, amazing miracles, God got them out. And while they're in the desert, get on their way, the journey to the promised land, they start doing what human beings do, grumbling, complaining. You know, we're fed up of this stuff, you're giving this to eat, God, we like it. You know, all the grumbling stuff that people come away with. And as a result, there's a whole bunch of snakes came out and started biting them and poisoning them. People are dying all over the place. And Moses says, oh God, what are we going to do? And God tells Moses, he says, make a bronze model of the snake, stick it on a pole, put it in the middle of the camp, and all they've got to do is, anybody who's been bitten and who's dying, all they've got to do is look at the snake, the bronze one, yeah? Look at the model we've made, and I'll heal them. Right? Simple, isn't it? So Jesus says, Nicodemus, that wasn't just about Moses' time, it's about now. And it's this, he says, just as Moses lifted up the snake in the desert, so the Son of Man, Jesus, me, yeah, that's what he's saying. So the Son of Man must be lifted up so that everyone who believes in him may have eternal life. Right? He's saying is that just as Moses lifted up the snake on the pole, I'm going to be lifted up on the pole. But that means he's going to die for us. Yeah? Just as Jesus dying for us is the means by which if you look at him, trusting him, looking is trusting, of course. If you look at him, trust him, then you will have what life? Eternal life. Right. Do you know what eternal life is? Now, eternal life isn't then. Eternal life starts now. Yes, that's the important bit, dear. Eternal life begins now, so we live forever. So we sang in that Amazing Grace song, when we've been there, 10,000, absolutely nothing. in time, right? Eternal, swallows that up, dead easy, yes? So, Jesus is saying, it's just as it was Nicodemus for Moses in his day, people that had really messed up, who were dying of their sin, right, because they'd been bitten by the snake, he says, all they had to do, nothing more and nothing less, simply look and trust. That's all he requires. Do you know, that's so good of God, that's the same with Jesus. All he requires is you simply trust him to forgive your sins, and he'll do it. Do you know why that's wonderful? Because you don't have to be smart to do that. Okay? You don't have to have a degree in theology. You don't have to have experience of climbing mountains or going to the depths of the oceans, all of that stuff. All you have to do, it's impossible for a child to do that. Isn't that amazing? Yeah? There's one problem with it though. And the problem is this, for us humans, yes? Because it's for humans, yeah? The one problem is, you don't do anything. And of course we like to put in our two pennies, don't we? No, I did my bit, I said my prayers, I did my stuff. I was nice to old ladies, helped them across the road, things like that, you know. Doesn't count. Doesn't count at all. All it is looking and trusting, and you get forgiven. Now, that's a good deal. For a Yorkshireman, that's a good deal. Right? I'm buying that, yes. Right, next one, please. Right. So, here's a little song for you. Right. It comes in that, I'll teach you a song. And you know what the splats are for? They're claps. Right, so it goes like this.